welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast. This is Jessica. I am your host, and I am here today with author Sarah Coffey to talk about While We Were Burning, which was a very good thriller. It went to some very interesting places. It had some very interesting characters, and I am so excited to talk to you about it. So welcome. Tell us about yourself and your book.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Super excited. First of all, hi. But yeah. So about me, I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee, which is also why I chose to set the book in Memphis as well. As for the setting, it's because Memphis has this, long history as part of the civil rights movement and, you know, being like a city that's seeking justice and social justice. So I thought, you know, setting a book in a city that kind of has a history of doing that same thing and a book, you know, also a similar theme would make sense to do.
Yeah, no, it was really good. And actually, one thing I wanted to kind of jump right into and say is, like, you used something that I really like in these types of stories, where you used sort of like a backdrop of social media to kind of paint a picture of, I guess, the different communities versus what's actually going on. And, you know, so there's all of these neighborhood groups everywhere, be it Facebook, or I don't know if people actually use Nextdoor. I've heard rumors that they do, but I feel like those are only rumors. Like, I'm like, really? Are you just pretending that you're not using Facebook? But, you know, to sort of like talk about certain things, especially like social justice, and it gets a little murky because, you know, obviously people can say their intention is one thing, but what they actually do is another. And, you know, especially when you're talking about, you know, a city where, you know, gentrification is a thing. And as you were saying, you know, I believe I was reading also just some notes that that Memphis is still quite white segregated, as you were saying also. Yeah. You know, it's just really an interesting way to sort of not necessarily be living in your main character's heads while getting an idea of what the environment is. So I actually, before we even talk about Elizabeth, Lizzie, Brianna, Patricia, David, Charles, anybody, tell us a little bit about that, because once again, it's just one of my favorite things that writers do. And I always want to hear how that became part of their story.
Yeah, so people use Nextdoor, actually. I know.
I'm an idiot. I apologize to all of our listeners who use Nextdoor.
No, I think there are, you know, people on Nextdoor who are normal people who were there like, oh, you know, I lost my cat, or like, you know, I'm trying to put together something for my child. Can you help me build it? You know, nice people. And then you get people who are very unhinged, like very concerned. And part of the inspiration for including that in this book was, you know, being in Memphis and seeing some people on Nextdoor who were just very interesting. And often, unfortunately, borderline racist. One time a lady was posting about, you know, this young Black boy who was walking through her neighborhood, like, you know, he didn't belong there. And then his mom actually came onto Nextdoor and was like, that's my son. Now, thankfully, other people on Nextdoor as well were like, hey, we know him, like, this is her son. You know, please don't do anything weird. Please don't try to get the cops involved. You know, like, he lives here. And I was like, how strange is that, right? To like be part of this community and like it doesn't click for you that maybe, you know, he belongs here too, especially in a majority Black city. Like, that was fascinating to me. Like, wow. Yeah.
Well, I mean, first of all, I have to say, if I have a subtitle for this episode, it's going to be With Apologies to Nextdoor and Everybody Uses It. You know, like, social media becomes so crazy. And I think, like, you know, again, personally, there's so much of it. And I mean, I know that I've kind of opted out of moms groups because I can't handle it. So, I was like, do I need to join this thing? Are people really talking on it? But that's interesting. Thank you so much for that information. But that's a really that's an I'm not going to say that's really crazy because unfortunately it sounds like something that would happen that, I mean, there's stuff like that all the time, and it really, really sucks. And as you were saying, in a city like Memphis, one would hope, but apparently not. But Elizabeth is, I believe, in sort of in she lives there as well, and she is in one of the white suburbs. And it starts off, she's kind of looking at her husband and wondering, how they kind of grew apart. And she ends up losing a friend violently in what appears to be a suicide. But Elizabeth is absolutely 100% sure this is a homicide. This is not a suicide. And she kind of spirals a bit, which is where Brianna comes in. Elizabeth goes on to, I guess, next door, and is looking for an assistant to help her while her brain is spiraling. And Brianna has a connection to the big picture as well. These were two really, really interesting characters, and their connections were like this really, I don't even want to call it a cat and mouse, story. They were kind of circling each other, even though they didn't necessarily realize they were, especially Elizabeth was, with Elizabeth, she's very focused on the narrative in front of her that she believes to see, without giving too much away. But Elizabeth is like, she's got kind of like this tunnel vision. And Brianna, who you learn very early on, lost her son Jay, unfortunately, to a situation that didn't, that is similar to what you were talking about, but didn't necessarily end in the way that, people were like, hey, leave this kid alone. That she's in a lot of pain. You get a little information about, what she was doing beforehand, her studies, her life, but like this is a pivotal moment. So whereas Elizabeth Lizzie is, and this is sad, she's mourning her friend Patricia, it's a whole other just sort of thing for Brianna, because it's just the not to deny grief, but the layers are so, ingrained in just everything. So I thought that it was just a really interesting combination of these two people. Could you tell me about both Elizabeth and Brianna and where they started to grow in your mind?
So for Elizabeth, like I always tell people, in the summer of 2020, there was this video that went viral. I believe it was maybe in New York, but basically, a black man had written BLM, like spray painted on the front of his sidewalk where he lived. And his white neighbor came over, and she seemed very concerned, and she was like, "Oh, I don't think the owner of this house, liked that you're writing BLM on the sidewalk." And he was like, "Oh, so you know the owner?" She's like, "Yes, I do." And he was like, "Well, that's me, right? You're talking to the owner of this place and telling me I can't spray paint BLM on here." And then, he was saying, "I think you're being racist." And she was like, "Well, no, I'm not racist." And it was interesting because when people, online found her, looked her up, they realized that, historically, no, she wasn't racist, right? She voted correctly. She'd supported to like very liberal, like left causes. And I was like, that is fascinating to me, because here you have a woman who's doing all the, right things behind the scenes, but in this moment is actually choosing to engage in racism. I was like, that is really interesting. And hints at like a lack of self-awareness. And that very much influenced Elizabeth's whole character. Because I think a lot of her whole thing is lacking self-awareness and not quite being able to connect, her actions to what she does sometimes. So it's like there's stuff that's missing there. And for Brianna, it's interesting too. For me, Brianna was like, whatever Elizabeth is going to do, Brianna will do the opposite. That's kind of like part of it too. Brianna is also is extremely more self-aware, right? Just aware of herself, also aware of others in a way that Elizabeth is also not aware of either. Like Elizabeth is very, I will say, like self-interested, kind of self-obsessed, not really interested in like whatever anyone else has going on. And Brianna's kind of like the foil to her in that way, like at every step of writing this book, that was my thinking.
First of all, I wanted to say I know the story you're talking about, and then it was funny, but I thought you were actually going to bring up when you said in New York the Central Park birder, Christian Cooper, who the woman was, thought he looked suspicious because he was a black man in Central Park looking at birds, or because, and like that's like his expertise, which it was like that was a time that, because generally everybody was kind of on their couch watching things happen. And it was like you were either out in it or you had like a front row seat to things. And so, I mean, I feel like all of there was a lot of 2020 that was like that, unfortunately. I did really think, both characters were just very well written. They were whole characters. They felt very real. And I appreciate what you were just saying about, everything Elizabeth did. Brianna did the opposite, because that sounded like it must have been fun to write. Did they kind of take the plot in places you didn't expect them to?
Yes, 100%. Surprisingly, more so Elizabeth took the plot in places I wasn't expecting. But I think that's what happens when you're writing a character who's a little delusional about herself, is like she will do things that are unexpected. Yeah, I think whereas Brianna had more of a sense of self, so writing her was more like I know what she's up to, and I know what, what her next move, and I know what to expect with Brianna more so.
Did you always know where it was going to end, though? Like that's one thing that I love about reading thrillers, is that it's like it take it re you really kind of go through it, and then you're at the end and you're just like, wait, what?
I always knew like where, how or where it was going to end, but I did not know how we were going to get there, basically. So there were some twists and turns that I myself did not see coming until I wrote them. But I had a basic idea of how the ending was going to look.
I have to also just kind of say, like, Elizabeth also, she kind of calls into mind just sort of, I mean, the suburban white woman, true crime obsessive personality. I believe I read sort of an interview with you at one point where you were saying that Elizabeth kind of sees herself as the protagonist in a thriller, which I found very interesting, and very meta in the best way. So would you say that Brianna, how would Brianna kind of frame a thought like that?
I don't think Brianna sees herself. Interestingly enough, I would say as the protagonist, I don't think she ever really has that thought. Again, just complete opposite of Elizabeth, right? Like Brianna is not in a world that's all about her, right? She has other things going on. Elizabeth was like, well, I'm the main character. Even like, beginning with that prologue, it was very much like Elizabeth, like, this book is going to be about me. Don't worry about it,
How
right?
did I lose you, David? How?
Yeah.
I mean, really, but like, I think like one of the things I liked about that was it did sort of give her that voice. And then when you really got into it, like, because at first I'm just like, oh, is this like, is this a little bit more like literary fictiony, here, thrillery? Because the genres blend, and in all honesty, I've kind of come to the point where I'm just like, well, like what is a genre anyway? Everything is its own, when you get into the book. But really, like, it did kind of start off in that sort of God, like that monologuing, like, oh, my life is falling apart, but really, like, I mean, was her life really falling apart compared to like other situations? I will ask though, because I am very curious about how the concept of motherhood and having a family, having children came into this, because you do find out, and this is not a spoiler, that David and Elizabeth are child-free, supposedly by choice, and Brianna is very much a mother, and both Elizabeth and David are kind of drawn to Brianna as a person for different for you know in for better or for worse. So I mean, you know, again, like Brianna's a black woman who lost her son in a terrible, terrible way, and the lack of Jay in her life really informs a lot of what she does and, you know, how she's feeling and her motivations. Whereas, you know, I mean, Elizabeth is very obviously, as we know, she's very focused on herself. And, you know, when you kind of learn more about their connection, and how their stories are connected, I mean, like Jay's existence like barely seems to come up in her mind. And I thought that that was very interesting.
So I won't say I don't think I was doing anything in terms of like a deep commentary on motherhood. I think for me, for Brianna's character, it was just wanting to explore the kind of grief that comes with losing a child that way. So a lot of that was like difficult to write and process, but I thought it was important to get on the page. As for Elizabeth not being a mother, the main thing with that was again hinting at the disconnect between her and David, right? Because it was like this was clearly a conversation that maybe they had years ago but had not revisited about like wanting children or not wanting children. And this might be like a personal thing where I'm kind of like, it's always interesting when couples, you know, who are married, have been together a long time. When it comes to the child conversation, it's like the first time they're having it. And I'm like, well, how is that possible? How did you not, you know, talk about this before? So for me, that's like not to be too judgmental, but for me, that's usually a red flag for a romantic pairing where it's like, oh, you never discuss this. It's been like 5 years. So yeah, that's why I'm like, that was thinking like something is off here already.
That should
So.
be a fundamental thing that you
Yeah.
discuss. And like, there's no like, I'm 100% in support of people who are child-free by choice or whatever, you know, but like, or decide they want to reassess. Like, it's really just like none of my business and it's between them. But like, really, like, if you're gonna commit to a relationship, like just at least like figure out where you are on the page together when you're committing. And, you know, if you want to have revisit that conversation 5 years later, just that shouldn't be the first time you're having it.
Exactly. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, no. And again, like it's sort of like I have so many things on the tip of my tongue, but I'm like, not going to say it because I really just want people to read this book. It was wonderful. It was so good. It had a lot of depth to it. It was just really a really, really good read. I burned through it, pun intended. Were there any things about the characters that kind of came up when you were writing it that surprised you?
Yes, although I cannot say what they are to avoid spoilers, but I will say there were things
Right.
about Elizabeth that definitely surprised me as I was writing her character.
So, do you read a lot of thrillers yourself?
Yeah. So I'm currently drafting another book right now, so I'm not like in super reading mode, but when I'm not drafting, I try to read as much as I can. There are so many good thrillers being published right now, which is kind of a problem. Like I'm trying to keep up, and I am falling behind. I'm like, there are so many. I prefer, of course, you know, I try to read thrillers by women and also women of color to kind of prioritize that. But even then, like there's so many. But which is great. It's a great problem to have. But like there's a lot coming up.
You got blurbed by some amazing authors, by the way. Like, I'm looking on the back here and I'm like, Yeah, love that author, love that book, love that author, love that book. So you're certainly rising, and I cannot wait to see what you've got in store next. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Still drafting.
How long does it take you to draft?
I try to do fast drafts just to get it on paper, and that could be like, between like a month to 3 months, just me just spitting it all out, getting it all out there, and then fixing it later. I don't like to spend too much more time that drafting because I feel like I get further away from the story. So I like to like stay in the moment, stay in the, in the Word document mentally as long as I can. And not draw it out too much, because like you can always fix it later, but there has to be something to fix. So I'm of that mindset when it comes to writing.
Do you like when you do you have to write every day? Do you feel like if you miss a day, you're kind of losing a thread?
No, I wish I was that kind of writer, because they're usually more organized. When I try to write every day, sometimes my brain is just like, no, not today. You can sit here and stare at this Word document 8 hours and you're not going to do anything with it. So I just kind of have to find a rhythm and just kind of chase it when I can versus trying to force myself to write every day. So.
This was wonderful. Check out While We Were Burning. When does it come out officially?
It comes out April 16th in the US and April 25th in the UK.
So run to your local bookstore, local library, wherever you prefer to get your books, both even. I am an equal opportunity user of libraries, obviously, and bookstores. And check out While We Were Burning by Sarah Coffey. And man, mark her down as a new favorite author.
Thank you. Yeah,
All right, we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
it's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.